and, in case you're wondering, Department S. The question, fairly self-evident, is Vic there? Well, maybe not Vic, but certainly Alana Rain is. How are you, Alana?
Hi, Alex. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, there we are, you see. And there is a connection which I won't go into with, is Vic there and Alana Rain, because it's a whole new world, but life continues. So, what's made you ship back to New York, temporarily at least, from, of course, the fabulous world of California, West Coast desires, joys, happiness, and, of course, our own personal favourite, the roller derby disco babes?
Ah, yes. Well, I'm definitely aching for a little roller disco bikini action on the beach, because it's raining.
Isn't everybody? Let's make sense. You know, I try every time, you know, as Holly will attest to, I go through seminars and say, So where are the roller disco bikini babes this time?
Yeah, and there's no faking it. There's no faking it in New York. But it's excellent, because my perspective here in New York in this cold, rainy time has actually been informed by my dear, dear friend from Hawaii. His name is J-Ro, and he's been staying with me, and he's from Hawaii, and let me tell you, they complain a lot more about the cold weather
than anyone
from California.
I noticed this on your Facebook update, that, you know, it seems that citizens of Hawaii complain about the weather.
Now,
Steve McGarrett rules, basically, you know, whether it's Jack Lord or indeed the current incarnation, which is like Alex Lachlan.
Who, classic. But it keeps me warm. We just talk about the sun and we're just willing our warmth into action. But, you know, the weather's, you know, who needs to talk about that? I'm here because I'm going to be filming a teaser for my feature in the coming month in November. So doing some location scouting and casting New York-based actors, so it's been really just exciting, and we just finished the animatic for it, and I had asked Phil to help me with a little bit of tweaking on the edit, and he was just so, so sick last week, and I hope he's better. I haven't even spoken to him, but maybe you could just let him know that it looks great.
Of course, Alana, you do
his help.
It wouldn't have worked. You know, we know that. It's all sorted through on that sort of basis. I've just pulled up the Hawaiian line there so folk can actually see the sort of complaints about its official. Hawaiians bitch more about the cold weather than anyone from L.A. It's just as far as we go with that. But yes, in terms of just briefly returning to the whole motif of the show and the patching things together and so on, Emma, would you like to throw some questions to our ace director here, Alana Rain, who, as you said, you know, uses phrases like Phil Leonis was really sick, without perhaps realising that, of course, this side of the Atlantic, saying you're really sick means you're pretty good, actually. You're so sick, man. You're sick, you know?
That was ill. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, Siren FM, it's one sick station.
It is sick.
Yeah, sick. Exactly. Anyway, over to you, Emma.
Yeah, so could you tell us a little bit more about this new feature that you've been working on?
Sure. Well, it's a science fiction film. It's the first in a trilogy, and we're in development with Fourth Culture Films in the UK, and, you know, we're moving along steady progress, and it's exciting. We're in casting, and, you know, we're putting this teaser together so we can just have a really complete package. We're finding that a lot of people are just asking for, you know, a little more to look at beyond a mood board or beyond some, you know, visual images from my previous work, and it's totally understandable. I mean, a lot of people process stories visually, and a lot of people with checkbooks that we need to actually get the checks written want to see something, and I understand. And let me tell you, I'm really excited to just get back on set and to be in that frame of mind. You know, it's a 4-minute teaser, and it's going to be a ton of work, but it's manageable for our time frame, and it's just exciting to be away from my computer screen for this phase, and I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
I just would like to say we're privileged and honoured almost beyond words that you're taking time out, and admittedly briefer than normal, to actually sort of connect with us, because we need to also give a full plug to Roxy, who is now apparently, there we are, an official California dog. There we are.
My baby girl, yes.
It's
a girl, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, I never lived with an animal before, and I feel like it's such a privilege to have this creature in my life, and you know, she's a rescue, and I feel like we're both rescuing each other.
Ilana, I was going to say, remember, the animal chooses you. You do not choose the animal.
Yeah. I believe it. And there's a whole world of cliches and Facebook posts about animals, and people have their own page for their animal that I never, ever understood before, and I never connected with, and I never saw, and I feel like a really, truly, a whole new world has opened up to me, and it's fascinating.
That all we need to do is actually type in the words Fuzz Aldrin. And, you know, the animal goes wild. Let's face it. Yeah, yes, Holly, Fuzz Aldrin.
Right. That's the cat.
Please do.
I can't even broach that. I don't get cats. But, I mean, I respect them, and
It's cats, it's dogs and cats. But, you know, in terms of Fuzz Aldrin, there we are with Lily Holliman there. That's what you call serious Leonis in the ocean. And remember, Fuzz Aldrin's chosen human to actually guide through the planet is the person who we just mentioned who actually assisted with the directing. So it all fits together perfectly. So describe where you are at present, Ilana, because it's always nice and exciting and glamorous. I mean, you've spoken to us from Venice Beach before. You've spoken to us from the beach on the East Coast, the West Coast, or where are you speaking to us from now?
I'm in the heart of Greenwich Village in my mother's apartment, and you know, it's wonderful to be here, but it's slightly bittersweet. Although she's not here anymore, but she's in a place where she is so much happier, It's thrilling, and that she's happy, and I'm actually literally about to go visit her now. While I get to enjoy this wonderful space and central location where everyone comes to visit me, we do have to start packing it up and figure out what we're going to do with it. So, you know, but that's transitions and part of life, and knowing she's happier that's the bottom line.
It's a way forward. And, of course, those of us, from my own point of view, who believe that actually Greenwich Village is the home to Doctor Strange, master of the omnipotent Vishanti, and the hoary horse of the Hogoth, would say just watch out for Wong, the faithful Asian butler, who will obviously look after that. I'm referencing Doctor Strange,
of course. Wow, that was a bit of a trip down.
Do you think so?
Somewhere.
Yeah. Well, there we are. You know, never let it be said that the Midweek Drive sort of doesn't like to expand those frontiers, Ilana. That's what it's all about. Actually, Ilana, perhaps you'd like to quiz. Have you spoken to Ilana before? I'm not sure whether you have or you haven't. Actually, are you new?
I think I have done.
Emma certainly hasn't. Emma and Holly, they've also taken on board. Well, Holly, at least, the mantle of being in the Siren FM Southside Broadcasting Adventures in Broadcasting calendar for next year,
very exciting.
Ilana,
that's great.
It just works perfectly. She did a thing at it was Sci-Fi London, the launch of Ellipse that was there. Anyway, we're clearly rambling. Time is tight. Things have got to be dead. Emma, would you like to put those last two questions to Ace Director Ilana Raine?
I would. Ilana, have you enjoyed your time on the show today?
Oh, I did. I love checking in with you guys, and I'm excited to give you more updates as we progress.
Fantastic. And will you be joining us again anytime soon?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe I'll get Rock to come on with me. She's a love machine, but you have to play the song.
Obviously, Ilana, you know, clearly you know it's one of our long-held ambitions to interview dogs live across the phone lines.
Of course.
It's a bit a big woof, woof, woof.
Exactly.
Just so I give you a little canine there, just to make sure that sort of, you know, it wasn't clearing the throat. Did I hear you say you wanted us to play something for Roxy? Because I mean, we have had a canary who loves Glen Campbell's Rhinestone Cowboy before. Actually, it was a budgerigar.
The disco classic Love Machine.
Really? Well, I must admit, I would never have considered the disco classic Love Machine as being dedicated to one's canine friend. I won't even ask why, because it just wouldn't be there. Would that be by the band The Miracles then, Ilana?
That sounds about right.
Would that be this one? Is that the sort of groove we're looking for? Is that sick enough for you, Ilana?
Oh, you got it, baby.
Well, there you go. Ilana Raine will return. Yay!
I think it's high time you knew. Whenever I think of you, my mind. Hug and kiss and I'm Annette Andre, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on 107.3 Siren FM.
Thank you very much. It's always nice to have a good quality line when we're actually doing our interviews and our station idents, etc. In fact, it's so wonderful, I think we should also play this as well.
Time now for some more Weingarten Wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, it's Weingarten Wonderment, and of course we've lost the line.
Oh, no.
No, exactly. See, you have that huge build-up and suddenly...
Such an epic build-up as
it was,
well.
Exactly. It was just suddenly it sort of all went slightly sort of skew-whiff on the whole thing. Never mind. Deep breath, clearly. Exactly. We'll hopefully sort of dial the numbers and all being well, people will connect. Maybe it was the disco side of things.
Yes.
Maybe that was the thing that effectively just tipped the balance, really. You know, you think we can't sort of cope with the disco side of things at this time of day. It was just far too much to actually cope with.
But, can I just say...
Hello.
Hi, there, you see. Now we can go back to sort of take 426. No, it's all right. It is a live show. And let's move back to the official, thank you, introduction, which basically goes something like this.
Time now for some more Weingarten Wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Yay! Weingarten Wonderment indeed.
If I still had enough blood to blush with, I'd do it.
No, it's true. You know, that was I specifically wrote that, and Annette delivered it with consummate style and professionalism, etc. We thought we nailed it.
She's got a fantastic broadcasting voice, hasn't she?
Yeah, she said she had a wonderful time there, and she really enjoyed it and loved meeting you and thought the studio was wonderful.
Well, you see, there we are. You see, reporting back, obviously. I like to see it in many ways, Arthur, as the pioneer. Send the wife over to check everything's all right, and then I might come over again. It's great stuff there.
There you are.
So how's life in the drought-ridden world of San Diego and the challenges?
Well, I have to tell you something. The publicity is very real, rooted in reality. But I am sitting on our rear patio overlooking that wildlife canyon that I think I mentioned. It's a spectacular canyon. And it is a world of green. So, and we're 5 minutes from the ocean. So there is the water out there that's unusable at this moment because of the salt, but they're building a desalination plant right here where we are. So in 3 to 4 years, there'll be plenty of water. But I and everyone around here wonders, why is everything still so green when the rest of the state is in dire straits? Dire. And I mean, I'm looking out. The grass is, I don't play golf, and I could care less about it, except one always looks at those greens and says, you know, what a waste of water and all that to hit a little white ball into a cup.
Arthur, you staggered me. A film producer and television writer who doesn't play golf? I mean, this is most unusual.
Well, that's why I never worked as much as Sidney Sheldon or someone like that. In fear of alienating, I don't know whether you play it or not, but I think next to darts, it is the most ridiculous game in the world.
Yep. Well, personally, Arthur, I think we should work together on a new series called Golf Darts. We're calling it Garts. Okay?
What a combo. Are.
Exactly. It's a mashup, a bit like boxing and chess, you know? But in fact,
it's a good idea. I'll get to work on it right away.
There you are. You see, that's the key thing. In the studio, of course, we have Holly Parker. And Holly is beside herself with excitement. Emma, hasn't Holly been beside herself with excitement?
She has. I thought you were going to cry earlier
when
we got the photo out.
When I presented Holly with her officially signed Annette Andre photograph of Annette and as Jeannie Hopcook in Randall and Hopcook Deceased, well, it was an emotional moment.
I absolutely love Randall and Hopcook.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that terrific? It's just wonderful how these things live on. I mean that. It's one thing to say, oh, yes, you know, we did that. When we were doing these things back in the 60s and 70s and whatever, there was never a thought that there'd be a tomorrow other than, you know, maybe we'll get a couple of residuals in the few years and that's the end of it. But to see that it has affected you and countless generations before you and maybe after is so gratifying, I can't tell you. It extends life through you.
it's rather like Dickens. He probably thought the same when he was writing Pickwick Papers, you know, just tomorrow's sort of wrapping paper, and look what happens now. He's seen as a radical journalist. Amazing.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And Shakespeare, don't get me started on his sort of routines, basically. He just wanted to get the plays out there, for goodness sakes. You know, Lord knows what's happening. Anyway, moving on. Arthur, I also demonstrated to, in fact, showed Annette, so she has a witness, eyewitness account, that I do keep your text of the fabulous sort of tale of the sky is falling in a hallowed place in the office, which when the Midweek Drivettes have completed their current reading, I shall pass on, because it is an ace read about, obviously, as I defined it, the kind of story that happened in New York just after the war, in which the Empire State Building was crashed into, something which has so many echoes of 9/11, and yet it all went very quiet. You know, it seemed to be hushed up, not quite, but in a kind of political way, but it all went very quiet until, of course, you revealed the story because you were there.
Yes, I really was. I was 10 years old. It seems, you know, it seems like it is only yesterday.
Yes, and yet...
It actually doesn't seem like yesterday.
and yet here we are, you know, still bonding to that special relationship, and the connection is there in every sense of the word, with beauty, joy and happiness. Arthur, I'm going to hand over to Emma now. Emma, questions for Arthur Weingarten?
Yeah, I had a question, because obviously you've done lots of producing and writing for lots of different TV shows and all sorts. Do you have a favourite genre to work on?
I actually do. It's comedy. But I did that for a good number of years. I started out doing it, writing for comedians like Bob Hope and Sid Caesar and people like that, and I was one of a crowd of them. To drop names, Woody Allen was on four of the shows that I did. We were both very young guys and fighting to get our one-liners in, you know, and all of that business. But what happened with me was that I started to write comedies for the Addams Family and things like that. And the ruination came when I became a producer as well as a writer, and they didn't, the jobs that I was getting were not comedy. They wanted me to do drama, so I left that behind. And over the years, I've dabbled in it. I've done things here and there in comedy, but yes, that's my favorite. That actually is my favorite.
Personally, that perhaps was the missing episode of Murder, She Wrote, when Jessica Fletcher does stand up. That's the one. Good evening, ladies and germs. I would actually pay significant sums of funding for actually hearing Angela Lansbury deliver that. You know, good evening, ladies and germs, etc.
Listen, you know, they're resurrecting the Catskill Mountains in New York, where all the famous Martin and Lewis and all of the people, George Burns, started out. Milton Berle and all those people started out in the Borscht Belt, it was called. Well, they're redoing it now with casinos, but nevertheless, you just said, you see, good evening, ladies and germs. I could get you a job with that line.
Listen, always available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, and funerals. Never turn anything down, right. Never knowingly undersold. Right. That's the key thing. That's how you shift from science fiction to the whole range of things at the University of Lincoln and beyond. So, yeah, we'll have to negotiate that. Holly, over to you. Any thoughts or ramifications or rumifications, etc.? No, she's still exhausted.
I want to know how you made the transition from writer to producer.
Well, actually, you know, producers, if you own an expensive camel's hair coat and can affect holding a cigar in those days, you looked like a producer. So they said, well, if he looks like one, he'll probably quack like one. Let's pay him and have him do it, you know. So I'd been around long enough, and I had started out as a young fellow at eight. I was a radio actor, if you could call it that. So I had been around things, and I saw what they did. You know, what they usually did, the smart ones, was to get out of the way of the people who knew what they were doing. So I took those jobs on. And truly, I mean, in terms of the reality of a situation, Aaron Spelling was a failed writer, so he became a successful producer. That should tell you, you know, where things are. My heart lies, the truly talented people are the actors and the directors and the writers who actually create the things, and the producers have a good Rolodex, you know, or in today's world, the software that can call up when they need a favor or have to raise some money.
It's a case of, well, showrunners, as we say, the current
Well, you know, actually, a showrunner, that's in the last 20 or 30 years, and that does take a talent. That does. Whether the show is good or not is immaterial in the sense that if General Motors went out of business tomorrow, you'd have to say, well, how come they killed it today when it was running for so long? It takes a lot of talent, actually, of a certain kind, to keep a show fresh, to keep it running. And that's why the showrunners. So, you know, whether you like the show or not, that is a talent to do it. And when a show fails, it isn't the producer very often that does it. It's the material. It's the material that people vote and they say, I don't like that.
So, and as we both know, Arthur, and the listener, of course, the discerning listener, is well aware that the scenery is so much better on radio that you have to use the theatre of the imagination so much more to that.
Oh, it absolutely is. As a matter of fact, in the New York Times this past Sunday, there was a wonderful exchange of letters between a child psychologist and a publisher of children's books. And the argument was that the child, for the psychologist, the child who is of modern parents will undoubtedly have a tablet or a computer or something by the time they're three. They will see cartoons online.
And you see, what'll happen is they'll
hurt. How depressing is that?
Exactly, they'll hurt their minds, and then they'll have to be given other kinds of tablets to actually keep them happy and not depressed. And
well, no. This is it. This is it. There is, and that was covered in the argument, and as any common sense tells you. But in the argument, the publisher said, there is something lacking in your argument when you say that, one, you can't go against it. That's what it is. Every teenager has to have a phone or their life is over. This child
let's just hold it there momentarily, Arthur, because we've got two young souls in the studio who are you still a teenager?
I am. I'm 19.
You are 19. Oh, technically, no, 19. It's an old joke, but never mind.
What are you talking about? That could be frozen in time for 20 more years.
Exactly. When did you get your first mobile phone,
Anna? I got my first mobile phone when I was 11 or 12 when I started secondary school. And I think the reasoning, I remember wanting one before, and some of my friends had one before, but I think the reasoning was because I was walking to school on my own.
Of course, yeah.
That's something
that your friends can steal, haven't you?
But it was a little brick that could literally only make phone calls and do nothing else. I think it could play, what was it, Worm on
Snake.
It? Snake. That was it. Snake. Could play Snake.
Snake 2. On the Nokia 3310. Yeah,
yeah. Speaking strange languages now, Arthur. I don't know.
Right.
Holly, how old were you when you got your first phone, your first mobile phone?
I was 11 as well, because I got it as a present for doing well in my SATs.
Aww.
SATs, of course, Arthur, for the Translation Arts School Standard Assessment Test.
I have no idea. They just made you do them in year 6, didn't they?
We have the same things here. Fortunately, I am so old that I escaped those things. Or I would have been reading.
What about the 11 plus?
Yeah, the 11 plus.
No.
Does that not go across the water?
No. I mean, basically, and besides, I have to sort of just, I very rarely do this, but I have to just caution Arthur on that particular routine. He mentioned the O word. We never use the O word on this show. We are chronologically gifted or experientially enhanced.
Chronologically gifted. That's a good one. I've heard that one.
I think some sort of magic comes out. Phil Leaders will be coming online very shortly. Arthur, I'm very tempted. In fact, we will, but I'll dig out the videos for Lurch's Grand Romance and make sure that is passed on two episodes of the Addams Family, of course, together with Ophelia Visits Morticia. In so many ways, you end up sort of with our breakfast show. Are you familiar with Lurch, by the way? Because obviously that little...
It's in Addams Family.
Yeah, it is, exactly. As in the Addams Family.
Oh! Yeah.
Look, just in case you'd like to have a little memento, which surely actually
it's
gives
huge.
You a little insight. Yes, this is, you know, that's what we're talking about. Okay. Yeah. You see, so they recognise the theme, Arthur. So that's good. You know, they've got the whole thing.
And the childhood years, Adam's family loved watching those.
I was actually told the other day because I was feeling a bit down, and I was told you look like Wednesday Adams. That's nice, isn't it?
I don't see you as creepy, spooky, kooky at all.
I don't have black hair.
Maybe occasionally Emma mysteriously ooky, but nevertheless, you know, still, you know,
well,
the Adams family.
I don't know why you would have found that not to your wanting, because one of my daughters, I told as she was growing up that she looked like Popeye's olive oil. And then one day she took a look at the cartoon and didn't talk to me for a week.
Even Shelley Duvall in the movie with Robin Williams, he's olive oil, not the sort. No, I think Wednesday Adams is much better, really. Absolutely. There we go then. It's time to ask Arthur Weingarten those last two questions. Emma, go for it.
Of course. Have you enjoyed your time on the show today?
I certainly have. I have, as always.
And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
I am not putting this phone down.
It's going to be a battle in the West Coast between Phil Leonis and Arthur Weingarten. It'll happen. Fantastic stuff. I just realised that we've emerged into all sorts of wonderful routines. I was thinking we actually go to Melanie. I think we probably will actually go to Melanie, because it sort of tends to sort of work our way through. That's the way I like it, in a different area. Still to come, as I say, we've got Phil Leonis online doing his own... No. We've had enough disco music. I'm sorry, but you know, there comes a time... where you have to say we've just zoned out when it comes to disco music, etc. But indeed, we do need to ask that question. What have they done to my song, Ma?
Look what they done to my song, Ma. Look what they done to my song. Well, it's the only thing that could do half right, and it's turned my song, Mama. Look what they done to my song. It's the only thing I could do all right, and they turn it upside down. Look what they done.
I don't know, but it'll get better. Don't worry, Melanie. Right, okay, moving on. Little shout out, I think, comes to the Parker family, because Holly, you'd like to give a big up, to use the vernacular, to another Yorkshire man who probably knows that Yorkshire isn't as big as Scotland, or vice versa.
Well, I'm just waiting till I get home and I get laughed at when
No, you'd be laughing with rather than laughing at. So anyway, name check for Mr. Parker Senior.
Colin and Marilyn.
Colin
and Mum
and
Dad.
Fantastic. And I gather they did once have a fantastic garden landscaping.
They still do.
They still have a fantastic garden.
An amazingly beautiful garden. Let's just give it a shout out.
Amazingly beautiful garden. This is just too wonderful stuff, etc. So director or truth seeker, which do you think we should go for, Emma? Director or truth seeker?
Director.
Good choice.
This is Malcolm Tomlinson, actor, horse racing commentator and voiceover artiste, proudly presenting the Midweek Drive's regular 6:30 p.m. correspondent. Whether he's in his PJs or not, the truth is out there. Director extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Leonis!
Yay! Yay! So, Phil, over to you. Have you managed to sort out the fact that you are so sick it's unbelievable?
What?
Have you managed to catch any other programme, in which case you might know the sort of context in which we raise the concepts of sick and the vernacular term of sick in the British Isles sense, as opposed to Ilana Rain's concept of being poorly?
Do they not say it in America?
Being poorly. So she was referring to me. Okay, I figured that's what happened. No, I didn't. I haven't caught any of the show because I've been so ill. I'm trying to beat back the last. What I hope is the last stage of this.
Ebola.
What is now going on 5 weeks of illness. Though I'm not. I'm cautiously optimistic, as they say. But after 6 weeks with it, Dean Haglund was still weaving. Mm. So
sunshine and the fresh air. So,
have you had any rain yet?
I'm sorry?
Have you had any rain yet?
No. Come on.
No.
This is not a science fiction
hot,
film.
It's hot in California.
Sizzling, exactly.
Takes them from Jersey.
Well, clearly.
Rain, the need for water is simply a sign of weakness, I've decided. So we no longer need water at all. So I haven't. But I figured, you know, Emma and Holly could tell me about the highlights of the show.
Indeed. And I'll give a little shout out to Peter Kerr, who actually has just sent us an email thanking us for having him on the show again. I really enjoyed listening to it. And it's nice because Peter Kerr is just a wonderful person, isn't he?
Yes.
It's great.
And he said he's going to send me a copy of his new book.
He did, yes. Exactly.
Which I'm very excited to read.
Very excited. But there we are. Phil Leonis has thrown down the Leonis gauntlet. The LG has been cast across the Atlantic Ocean, and it's time for you to actually sum up your highlights on the programme. Fortunately, you've got a running order to hand, so it should act as an aid memoir, so to speak.
Well, I don't know what's my favourite bit so far. I think I'm going to have to say that having Richard talk about all of his sporty, inspired life stuff, because I know that Holly's not going to say that. So I feel like I should promo it.
Speak up for
because
Richard Harper.
Holly's more of a book
sporty.
Girl. I don't know.
You don't mean Richard Fitzwilliams, do you?
No. Richard's on tomorrow morning, or indeed in California time, 20 past midnight. Well, actually, 10 past midnight.
And the word sporting life don't seem to really fit him. So who are we talking about?
This was Richard Harpin.
Yes.
And he has set up, along with fellow colleagues, his Inspired Life campaign, which is all about reaching out to young people in the community in the UK and getting them involved with sports stuff. And there were other things as well. It wasn't just sport.
And he was the manager of the Ghanaian skiing team.
The snow ski team that effectively inspired the movie Cool Runnings.
I thought they actually had a bobsled team. And Jamaica isn't Ghana.
It's one of those former colonies that actually used to answer to the British Isles. You know, in the days of the British Empire, before it sort of all disbanded, it's one of those areas, I believe. Phil probably.
Are you about to do a Rasta accent?
No, I'm sorry. Why would I possibly break into? Why would you even think I'd actually break into? Not when I've got this button to press.
The Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM. A show that enhances, educates and entertains.
So why do Rasta... Oh, sorry. I'm very, very... No, of course not, Phil. Good grief. So anyway, that was Richard Harper. But Phil possibly wants to know...
I do have something that this concept of the sporting life reminds me of something that I had intended to ask you about, whether you'd seen, because if memory serves, Alex, are you a Manchester City fan?
Yeah, memory serves you absolutely correctly on that particular issue.
No way.
I watched the most amazing UEFA match
behind closed doors. CSKA. A dodgy penalty. It was too cold, Phil. That's the reason we only got a 2-2 draw. It was too cold. The players were cold. They were freezing to bits.
Was it in Moscow, then?
It was in Moscow.
Oh, see, I didn't watch it.
But there was no one in the stands.
No.
They had banned spectators because of their racially insensitive behavior
indeed.
At earlier matches.
Yes.
So they were banned, and it was the most odd thing to watch this match played before no one.
Well, that's not strictly true, because 600 CSKA fans, allegedly, had actually snuck in and actually sort of were making sort of shouty bits and pieces. So is it any wonder we only got a point? But don't worry, Manuel Pellegrini,
that was even more surreal, because, yes, you could hear crowd noise, but you couldn't see anyone.
No, exactly.
Which was like the ghosts of racially insensitive spectators past were making their presence known. And what was extraordinary about it was this last summer during the national basketball finals here, there was an interesting case where not during the finals, but during the playoffs, one of the owners of the team here in Los Angeles, a team here in Los Angeles, had been exposed as quite a bigot, and there was a great deal of against him. And the spectacle that I wanted to see was fans showing their outrage by gathering around the stadium but refusing to go in for the game itself, so that the whole game would be played, again, before no one, so that it would just be silent, that the national television audience would have been treated to that. Because sometimes I think in an era where everyone does tend to get very loud and yell and get irate, I thought, wow, wouldn't silence speak louder than any of that?
Silence is golden, as the Tremolos once sang. But we're not here to talk about old 60s classic pop tunes and so on. Clearly, Phil will have missed out on all of the references we made to Fuzz Aldrin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been having a look at Fuzz Aldrin on Facebook.
We have, yes.
And, well, can I ask, Phil? Because we were saying about how Fuzz found you.
Yeah, we say that.
Is there a little story behind that?
It's a classic. It's heart-rending.
Well, I believe, first of all, much like creative projects, pets always choose the person, not the other way around. And certainly it was true in Fuzz Aldrin's case. Fuzz was born in Las Vegas and was immediately, along with all the other kittens in the litter, set into a box and set out for adoption on the Las Vegas Strip in the middle of August. So in 110, 120 degree weather, a box of kittens was set out, where it remained for a week without anyone doing anything about it, until a lady walked by, found a box of dead kittens, and was in the process of disposing of that box when she saw a little bit of movement from one of the animals. And it had survived by somehow probably sucking moisture out of the box itself. And this woman, interestingly enough, her job was to nurse geriatric cats, old and ill cats, and to give them comfort through the final days of their life. And this was the first time she'd ever nursed a baby cat back to health. And this is what she did, feeding this cat with an eyedropper for 6 months. The woman moved to Los Angeles and happened to become my next-door neighbor. And the cat kept breaking out of the apartment to come trying to find me. And so I befriended this cat, and then the woman got a job working with animals in Yosemite National Park, which was an outdoor experience. And this cat, because of what it's been through, is permanently stunted. So it was never going to get big like most cats, always going to remain about 6 pounds. And so would not be able to survive outside. I mean, I think a squirrel would probably beat it in a fight. So I asked, well, what's going to happen to Fuzz? And as I asked, I started to cry and realized, I guess I've just signed up to take care of Fuzz. So Fuzz and I have been inseparable ever since.
Aww.
And one of the things that kills me about Fuzz is because of the experience of having been so dehydrated, Fuzz's sinuses ruptured when she was a baby. And so to this day, when she gets emotional, she cries actual tears.
Oh, that's so emotional.
Yeah. So.
He just knows how to press those buttons, doesn't he, right?
Yeah.
You know, with the seconds to go, it sort of drops it in. And there we are. It's Lily Holloman and Fuzz Aldrin, what can you say?
She's a very pretty cat.
Oh, that's just Lily Holloman, of course. I see it's where we're going there. I think it's a he, isn't it? Is it she? I don't know. Have we sorted out?
No, it's a she.
It is a she.
It's a Fuzz Aldrin. Now, apparently the name was given to Fuzz before the gender was actually known to be female. Mm. So that is a little bit confusing. But she's definitely a girl. She's quite a girl. She's a total snickerdoodle. And... but it is interesting that one time when I did have to take her to the animal hospital, and the people at the hospital kept referring to Fuzz as he, and this upset me a great deal, not just because I don't want Fuzz to grow up with gender identification issues, but also because it seems to me that if you are a medical practitioner, you probably ought to be able to tell the difference between genders, don't you think?
Yeah, you would think so.
Holly's filling up again. You know, I think there's a sense of sort of, you know, it's like
the big eyes.
The big eyes, exactly.
Oh, the ears. The ears are really big as well.
Big eyes and ears. In fact, a Fuzz Aldrin is indeed Vulcan.
Fuzz is an Egyptian Mao, as I've told this story, is an Egyptian Mao, which is the most ancient of all the domestic cats and actually are the most closely linked to the big cats. And they're a very unusual breed, very rare. There's only a few thousand of them. And but the round emotional eyes are one of the telltale signs.
Round emotional eyes. Okay, right, cue the universe, bring them in, let's see what they've got to say.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration, but being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up, the universe.
If you've battled the supernatural forces of evil as Jeannie Hopkirk, helped the saint to vanquish villains and danced on the Riviera with Tony Curtis and Roger Moore, being a regular midweek drive correspondent from California is the clear way forward. I'm Annette Andre, and I'd like to congratulate you for choosing this station and podcast.
Oh, Phil would appreciate that, really. It's, you know, it's always nice.
I love that. That was excellent. I actually think that I should have letters from Fuzz Aldrin, and they should be recorded in the voice of Annette Andre.
Yeah, well, of course, you could liaise with Arthur, and Annette will be back to, I mean, we'll hopefully connect with her again in November 22nd, hopefully, when we trek off over to Birmingham to actually see her in place there. So, great, yes, though. Okay, it's time to run the little roll call of honour. Thanks to Cameron Tilbury, to Anna Lewis, Richard Hoffman, of course, Peter Kerr, Ilana Rain, Arthur Weingarten, and, of course, Phil Leonis. Holly Parker, have you enjoyed the production today?
Very much so. I do have a question for Phil.
Go.
As an American, can I please ask what hella good means? As it's a phrase that doesn't make a great deal of sense to me.
Hella good.
Hella good. Hella good. When something is hella good.
Hella good. Well, it's a hell of a lot of goodness.
Right.
So basically really good. Yeah. Just really, really good.
Yeah, and it's amazing that, you know, I actually figured we probably nicked that phrase.
Is sick,
from,
man. Sick.
From you all.
Also, what is a snickerdoodle? Yeah, I was wondering that.
Yeah, critical question.
Oh, come on now.
No. If you're going to actually use the traditional Leonis line, which of course you did for former Rookie of the Year, that would be Hannah O'Brien, now, of course, based in Gloucester. That's all we actually know, really, about the whole thing. And indeed, you came up with, yes, here we are, it's in the system. This is the official snickerdoodle ident.
Hi. This is filmmaker Phil Leonis.
And this is actress Lily Holloman.
If we've learned anything from all of our travels and adventures,
it's that Hannah O'Brien is a snickerdoodle.
She's also
the Rookie of the Year
on Siren FM's Midweek Drive.
Yeah, happy days. Never thought I'd actually play that again, but there you are. So, seconds to go. Snickerdoodle. Explain, please, Phil, because I presume one of the good things about your temporary slight poorliness is you can put all those creative energies to writing new jingles for Emma Tinson and, of course, Jessica if she gets back from her netball.
Yes.
And not, of course, basketball, which is what I was confusing it with, understandably.
I have to explain now what a snickerdoodle is and the amount of time that is left. Officially, it's a cookie. It's probably the best kind of cookie that there is, and maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough of an explanation.
It's the your most cat delicious. Is a cookie.
It's the most delicious. It's the most delicious cookie. But I just started taking that to describe any being that was endlessly delightful.
Any
being
lovely.
That's endlessly delightful is a snickerdoodle. Yes.
And there you have it. You see, could apply to all midweek drivettes everywhere. Right.
Don't kid yourself. I think during his college days, Alex Lefchuk must have been a snickerdoodle.
moving on. I think it's time.
Can you imagine him back when he was doing his undergraduate work at Hogwarts?
You've seen some of those early radio stuff things, Phil, that we used to do. So just go there. Anyway, Holly, last two questions for Phil Leonis, please.
Have you had fun talking to us today?
Not really.
Aww.
Okay, yes. Yes, I have. Of course I have.
And will we be talking to you next week?
Yes, maybe I will. Maybe I'll develop a letter from Fuzz Aldrin. That would be really fun.
Next week, of course, we have the return of Bill Coles. We have Jeff Wayne from War of the Worlds fame, of course, also joining us in a piece that talks about his last ever tour of War of the Worlds on stage.
Alex, people need to follow Fuzz Aldrin on Twitter.
I thought you might say that.
Twitter handle.
Yeah,
I'm going to go and do that, like, right away.
The Fuzz Aldrin. Fuzz hasn't been doing it a little bit lately because, you know, it's been so hot and dry out, but Fuzz attends a lot of theater and reviews plays, so...
The Fuzz Aldrin. He joined Facebook on November the 18th, 2013. She did. Sorry, Fuzz, confusing you there, understandably. Don't know what's happening. But still, life continues. Phil Leonis will actually return. Holly, you enjoyed the show, so that's great news. Are you back next week?
Hopefully.
Good, excellent stuff. And Emma?
Yes, definitely.
Back in the morning?
Yes.
There we are. Or indeed, if you're in Los Angeles, it's literally just after midnight, really. It's sort of the ideal way. if you fall asleep outside in the Los Angeles sunset-filled world, then you might sort of decide, yeah, I'll just... I have this image now of Phil, rather like one of those old westerns with the spittoon in one side, say, you young pups, you don't remember when I was here. Yet. Which I think he should actually do, if only to get kind of a bit of redneck Americana into California. But Phil Lillis will return. The news is coming up from the Sky News Centre here on Siren 107.3 FM. And then we have much of magical music. And then, of course, the Groundworks team around for 9 o'clock. And we'll catch up with you again 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with Richard Fitzwilliams and a whole heap of other goodies, including what's happening to Wednesdays and why actually we should set up a campaign to effectively make Wednesday half day once again. Makes perfect sense. Holly Parker and Emma Tinson and Phil Leonis, and of course, Lister, feel free to join in. Can we say bye-bye?
Bye!
Bye!